The Avengers Follow the White Rabbit is a podcast dedicated to practical politics. Practical politics is, of course, called practical politics because it is all non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is always rule-based politics. Every 2 years, every 4 years, it's basically what you do at the voting booth. And then there is full-spectrum practical politics, or engaging and taking down an opponent by any means necessary, using the rules but never breaking the rules. But to do anything, we have to start with practical politics, and in this case, it's the art of staying on message. It's having a consistent message. And our consistent message is a mantra, or white rabbit genocide you see on this front page. And we will also, in this podcast, engage in the geopolitical. We will talk about geopolitical events. We will talk about things from a unique white rabbit perspective. We will also go into white rabbit psychology and ecology and talk about everything you'd want to know about the indigenous white rabbits of Europe. And this is, again, the Horus the Avengers Follow the White Rabbit. There is a Stormfront conference coming up. Derek Black gave me a call and asked me to come and participate. It is the 16th, 17th, and 18th. It's on the day of the 17th, and you can listen to the Truck Roy interview. He goes into it exactly. But Derek Black's setting it up with some other people, and I will be we'll be there. Old Bob Whitaker will be there. Sam Dixon will be there. James Edwards will be there. It probably won't be like anything most have attended. I've never attended anything, so I don't have really anything. Won't have anything to compare it to, but I have a feeling this one's going to be different. Depending on exactly what's going on at the time on the planet, there will be groups coming in far and wide for various different meetings all over the particular place we're having it. It is a layered meeting, meaning that they're not giving out the location until the morning of. Depending on the numbers that show up, numbers that are coming, will depend on the location, whether or not it's a private location, or there's all kinds of different creative ways you can go about it. You may have to follow the white rabbit. You might have to meet somewhere, get a wristband, give a ticket number, and then meet somewhere else to go to the meeting or something like that. It might be a little more than that, but we're going to have a meeting. In other words, I'm not getting in a car, and Bob's not getting in a car and coming to a meeting and not having a meeting. It doesn't really work that way. We're not going to deal with our enemy. Our enemy called in phony bomb threats and phony murder threats and whatever, and of course, if you or I did it, it wouldn't be phony, but but it's kind of against the law. But at the last Stormfront conference, we're not going to deal with all that. This is a real conference. We have something really, really to say. This is about a consistent message. That's the only type of thing I would ever go to, is something regarding consistent message, because everything else is, I guess going to a meeting if you want to meet people and everything else, that's wonderful. That's a good thing, I guess, if you have business to do or whatever. But typically the serious things are over consistent message, because that's what struggle is about. That's how things are done, and that's how the West is won in this game. And there are a handful of ways to participate with a consistent message. One, in ours, It's the way Bob likes the most because it's objective and you can read about it, or was objective up until late. We got another objective criteria for this message getting out there. And that is real simple. You can copy and paste the mantra and then report it. Now, a lot of you guys are copy and pasting the mantra, but old Bob likes to report it. He gets upset when they're not reporting it because he actually likes reading it. He's bored. He's bored. Well, maybe he's not that bored. He's an old retired guy. And, you know, this is his life's work, so he likes reading it. He can't exactly hear you in your conversations every day. Obviously, if, you know, there's more people using something in an everyday conversation than are posting online because most people may not have the time to do a lot of posting, but there's various different types of activism that you could be on. Rabbits on the boots on the ground, or as we say, rabbits underneath the pink rabbit's tool shed. You know, you're gnawing at the foundation. And sooner or later, they're going to feel you. That's how that works. Sooner or later, they're going to feel you. But or you can use the terminology. You know, it's just pretty straightforward. Anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white. Nazi wants to kill 6 million Jews. I know many of you use this everyday conversation. People are not going to say they're using something and not use it. And this stuff is very simple. It's very catchy. It's very easy. It's advantageous because you can get stuff out in the public easier if you're latching onto something that someone is embedding in their conscious. And we are embedding it at breakneck speed, or at least trying to, doing our best. But there is another objective criteria we have. Yes, and that is Horace the White Rabbit. I have the website has a email account. It's a Gmail account. We use it. Horace the White Rabbit. It's pretty obvious. You can find you can Google Horace the White Rabbit, and you can find out who that is. Yeah, it comes right to the website. Probably one of the very few email. You know, well, I don't know. Any company or website or whatever should have an email. Some type of email address that'll get you back to the website. So if someone just sees the email address, they can find the website. But Horace the White Rabbit kind of sticks out like a sore thumb. And the other day, I don't know. It's been a couple weeks now, I guess. But we kept getting emails at horacethewhiterabbit@gmail.com. These emails were asking for comments from the press and all kinds of stuff like that about. They wanted to speak to right-wing radicals about Mr. Breivik, you know, the Norwegian bomber, the Norwegian the one that did the largest act of terror in European history, one of the largest acts of terror in European history. And they kept wanting to speak to right-wing radical. Finally, you know, someone's barking up the right tree because we're actually right-wing radicals. But apparently, Mr. Breivik. He sent out like 1,003. He sent out a huge manifesto, huge manifesto, to over 1,000 email addresses. I don't know what it's 1,000, 2,000, 3. Don't know. And HoraceTheWhiteRabbit@gmail was one of them. Now, what would Horace the White Rabbit have in common with Mr. Breivik? Probably nothing. You know, it's two things you know about. Especially White Rabbit Radio, or even Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar. One, we don't advocate violence. It just doesn't work. Violence can't bring down this type of system. Everything we advocate is totally legal. And two, we're not Zionists. So it's kind of interesting. But, of course, there's nothing illegal about some nutball emailing you or whatever. But I thought it was kind of interesting. Apparently what happened was it got put in a spam box because it had such a huge attachment. I mean, this thing had a huge attachment. And I remember it was pulled up and was looking at it, and it was from London. That's all I remember is from London. And I saw all the different email. We looked at the email address names. And we were looking, and there were several of them, none that we could notice, but some 1488s and whatnot. Up yours, 1488, 14 up yours, 88, some stuff like that, some funny stuff. And then on down the list, you said Horace the White Rabbit. That's the only thing I remember about the email. It came from London or something. I don't even remember the name on it. But anyways, it was deleted, even though it passed the virus scan. No one in their right mind is going to download, especially if you have a white, normal white website like ours, you're not going to download some huge attachment from London from someone you don't know. That's insane. You don't know what's in it. Even if it passed a virus scanner, there could be viruses that don't scan yet. Who knows? But anyways, it was deleted, and it wasn't known until sometime afterwards. We kept on getting emails from automatic emails from different news agencies. Wanted to know who in America this was. You're listening to them. You're listening to one of them at least. It's kind of funny. We're just white rabbits. There's nothing here but us white rabbits. But the message is out far and wide. You're way past the target audience. You're gnawing at the tool shed. Little white rabbits just gnawing at those pink rabbits' tool shed, and pretty soon that thing's going to start caving in. I always say it's like thousands of little needles. You know, if you start sticking the red hippo with a needle, he may not even feel it at first. You start really sticking them with a needle. Everyone sticks them with a needle every day, and I don't care if it's use it in your writings or use it in a conversation or just use some of the terminology or use the mantra or use the talk, whatever you want to do. Anything you do in a closed society that points out the contradiction is like sticking the red hippo with a needle. At first, it's no big deal. If I suck you with a needle, it hurt. It ain't going to kill you. If you have just even 300 little white rabbits start sticking you with needles, you get killed. You get killed alone from little needles. Just pop, 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 pop. Because sticking someone with a needle using a mantra is totally legal. But it undermines the very fabric of the society because it undermines the moral legitimacy of the people running the place. That's what it does. It breaks them out of the feedback loop. And I could probably give a mini sermon on Mr. Breivik, but you know, the press wants? Well, the press wants statements on the records, and they find out who it is, and they want statements off the records because our stuff can't get past their editors. I'd be happy to give any of them statements, but they'd always have to be on the record, and they won't get it past their editor. Now the question would be, do I think he listened? Probably not. He probably hit the link from some Norwegian site because our stuff is all over the damn place. And then probably copied down the email address because he's building a huge email database, you know, 1,000 plus, I guess. That's the only thing I could say, but there's no way to know. Even if there were MP3 player full Follow the White Rabbits, I have a feeling I wasn't his cup of tea. just have a feeling I wasn't his cup of tea. But even if there was MP3 or a brand new iPod full of them, you would never hear about it. They'd probably never disclose that, which is too bad. Too bad, because we have nothing to hide. We have nothing to hide here. But that's some interesting news. So Bob's talking about he wants more people posting. He knows it's out there. He knows it's out there so far, so he wants to see more posters reporting it back on Bugswarm, which is good. It's good. It's demoralizing for the enemy. It's moralizing for your side because it's objective. You can see it. But there's another objective criteria we have. We know it's out there. We know we know it. Now you know it. Now everyone knows it because everyone's looking at an email list of 1,000. Everyone in the know is looking at an email list of 1,000. There's only one email on there. There's only a handful of emails on there that you can do a Gmail search on or do a Google search on. And one of them is attached to us. That Horace the White Rabbit sticks out in an email list. It's like nothing you've ever seen. Your eyes go right to it. Like, who the hell is that? Where's the White Rabbit? You got to be kidding me. Why is some gigantic, largest terrorist in Europe emailing Horace the White Rabbit? Who is this? Who's that? You know, the first thing you're going to do is Google or Yahoo it because it sounds kind of corny. Whatever. Then, boom, you're on White Rabbit Radio listening to White Rabbit Genocide. You don't do anything to put out a consistent message if you're the enemy. Nothing. Nothing. Especially if something has gravitated that far out. That is way too get out of hand too quickly. But anyways, they want statements. We're sending back standard email replies. You know, if they want statements, you know, I'll talk to them. If they think they can't get it past the editor and they're not complete hacks, maybe we'll talk to them off the record or something. But preferably on the record, because on the record, you know, I want to put it in Horace the Avenger or White Rabbit Radio or whatever. We worry about putting the mantra. That would be nice, but it doesn't really matter because they're going to look up White Rabbit Radio. They're going to hit White Rabbit Genocide. You know, it's kind of obvious. You know, it's 2 + 2 = 4. Yeah, but anyways, that's news for you. So keep gnawing at that woodshed. Keep sticking them with those needles. White Rabbit Radio is not even 2 years old. September will be 2 years on that actual. WhiteRabbitRadio.net was reserved 2 years ago, September. September maybe 11th, or not 11th, I don't know, 20th or something like that. So good job, because I ain't doing it. We can only point you in the path. We got to have thousands of little needles. There's only so much one white rabbit can swing. There's only so many times one white rabbit can hit a needle. But if everyone does it, you will bleed that thing dry in no time. And it is outright terror among the enemy because you can't control it. It is totally legal to stick the red hippo with a needle. Not illegal to do anything else. Oh, it's not illegal to do anything else. We'll talk about Mr. Brevik in a little bit, but you can pat yourself on the back. Yeah, if someone's emailing this website, out of 1,000 emails on this planet, sending one to us, and we ain't been around. Now, in all fairness, I don't know if he emailed Bob. He didn't email any of my personal email addresses, that's for sure. He didn't email the other, there was an other Gmail address associated with White Rabbit Radio. He didn't email that attached to a YouTube account. He just emailed Horace the White Rabbit. That's the only one that we know of on the list. But any of you that are on the list probably ended up in a spam box or something, because I have a feeling you're not going to open up big attachments from people you don't know. Now, do I know anything about them, or did we know them? No, we don't know anything. It's just out of the blue. Just happened to be on his email list. But, of course, main thing people want to know, of course, listening, is how would he find us? He probably clicked a link. I mean, it's not like something most people have seen before. And if you're looking at it, it's not like anything you've seen before. It's got a different tone. It's a different message. Not in my target audience. My target audience is white and normal and alternative news and research. And they want to fight the system. We show them how. And it's pretty simple. A five-year-old could do it. And it works. It works very, very well. Thousands of little needles. And keep swinging them. Keep swinging them. But old Bob wants anyone out there that is actually posting the mantra, try to take time and post it up on Bug Swarm. It used to be very difficult to do that. Now it's very easy. And Bug Swarm is getting a radical upgrade, too. It's going to get a radical upgrade. Everything's getting upgraded. My site, all the merchandise is out there far and wide. My stuff. We did have a card at NewsNet 14. Now Arianeware is trying to liquidate inventory, and we're going to be bringing in everything's coming back onto our sites. Everything, far and wide. So we'll have two locations for everything. You won't be going anywhere else for anything other than maybe White News Now. If something goes down, you can always go to White News Now, and the swarm will continue there. But by and large, we're right on course. We're right on course. You're not being ignored anymore. Yeah, there's only one person on that email list. There's only one group on a consistent message, and that consistent message is alleging criminal conduct at a high level. Yes, it is. So you keep gnawing at that shed. Little white rabbits gnawing underneath the shed. It doesn't matter. If you get enough of them gnawing, that thing will come down in no time. They'll feel you. They'll feel you real quick. Those pink rabbits will start walking across their shed floor, and everything will start creaking and swaying back and forth. You're knocking the foundation right out from underneath it. You know, you take the biggest animal in the world, give enough little white rabbits needles, and tell them to keep sticking them. It'll go down. It'll go down. That's how this stuff happens, and it's comedy to watch it work. But I couldn't offer you any. I offer you all kinds of insight in Brevik, the different ideals I have. But I couldn't offer you any insight to whether or not he had any of Bob's stuff on his MP3 player or Follow the White Rabbit. I would have no idea. Probably not. We're not his cup of tea. I can see no reason to believe we're his cup of tea. I mean, I don't advocate dealing steel, as we say. I don't advocate trying to shoot 3-point shots because it doesn't work. It doesn't work. I mean, Norway, the government's still standing stronger than ever. Of course, there are some other trends in Europe that won't make a difference in that. Now, I'm going to go into that in a bit, but Bob was rather amused by it. Not amused at the terror incident in Northern Europe, but he said, you know, there's going to be more of these. But he was interested, you know, obviously, if you're on an email list, sometimes you don't know how far something's out there until you know. And that's kind of one way to know. That's one way to know. Yeah, because this ain't been around that long. That Gmail address is not that old. It's not that old. And this guy was committed to violence long, long before, anyways. And I'll go into that in a bit. So you can pat yourself on the back. There's an objective criteria for you. If anyone of you know how far this stuff is out there, that's how far it's out there. That's how far it's out there. Now, does our enemy know? Our enemy's known about us since day one. Everyone else knows about us that wants to know. Because it's very easy. All you have to do is search. And they're asking for statements, but they're not going to be able to get anything past their editor. because anything we do is always tied to a consistent message. You know, everything else is just, you know, it's beer and pizza. You know, it's White Rabbit, it's candy carrots. The stuff I do, I just hit a target audience to talk about stuff that may interest you. But you got to do everything else. But once you hit a target audience, it is a flame. It is something that me and Bob could drop off the face of the planet, and this will keep going and going and spreading until it burns down everything, which is fantastic, which is what we want. We are in operation Down with Pink Rabbits, and we give them those three words. We give that big beast three words, that big red hippo. You got to go. Yes, you do. One way or another, you're going to go. But it's not basketball season, is it? That's not basketball season. In basketball season, you can deal steel like cornmeal. It's whoever can outshoot the other and all that kind of good stuff. But you ain't basketball season. You're in practical politics. It's non-voting politics. But the only thing you can do is stick someone with a little needle. Little needle. If you do it over and over again, it works. It works. It ends up hurting. It hurts in ways that most listeners can't even imagine. It hurts because the people at the top can't do anything about it except stick and take it. You know, it's like you sitting in a chair and someone's sticking you with needles. At first, you know, you're going to grin and bear it, but if you can't do anything about it, you know, you get a few hundred, even just a few hundred little white rabbits sticking you with a needle, you're not going to be too happy. It's very uncomfortable because this stuff can get out of control, and if it brought down the Berlin Wall quickly, and the same group is behind it, which it is, look out. Look out. God. Now, what happens after that? Well, that's not in my department. Yeah, that's another podcast. That's someone else. But let's talk from Mr. Brevik a while, since some of you may have found me through him, through the Mad Bomber of Norway, the big terrorist. There is a tremendous amount of news regarding Mr. Brevik, the Norwegian bomber. On what he was or what he wasn't. And in the white normal media, you have one side that says it's Zionism, other side that says he was just a white rabbit that lost it. He went postal on a large scale. But what we do have is something interesting. We have someone attacking the elite in Northern Europe. One of the first times in Europe in a long time that, you know, he's not going after Muslims. He's not going after any target other than the people in power, or at least that's what he says. We have to respect everything he says to some extent because he's a person of action. He's not just saying something, he's doing something or achieving some objective or trying to in a very large way. And in this case, what we know to be true is that he set off a big bomb targeting a prime minister. And then he took a car ride over to an island targeting another prime minister. He went for two big three-point jump shots. He's trying to play him basketball. And in these two big three-point jump shots, he failed at both. He didn't hit his jump shots. He didn't hit any jump shots. He didn't kill one prime minister. And when he went over to the island, most people may not know it, but he was targeting another prime minister, the former prime minister that was speaking at a Labour Party camp. It was basically Camp Pink Rabbit. For listeners of this show, that's Camp Pink Rabbit. For little white rabbits, they were training to be basically traitors. There's no other real way about it. That's what pink rabbits are. They're rabbits that look like us. They have no loyalty to us. We are the world training to be little pink rabbit traitors, basically. Now, at this camp, he showed up a little late. Showed up late, apparently, because he got caught in traffic. Why could you do all that planning for years and years and then get caught in traffic? Well, that's a good question. But he got caught in traffic, apparently. And at least that's what they're telling us. And the prime minister that he was targeting, the second one, wasn't there. She had just left. And he went on a shooting spree. He went in for some jump shots, shooting little white rabbits who were training to be pink rabbits. And not all of them were white. I'm guessing there was probably a couple non-whites in the group, or a handful. And he killed them. He killed a lot of them. I don't know the number, 70-some, 80, whatever. That's a lot. And the arguments are for either one, I mean, there's a lot of unknowns still. A lot of unknowns. He issued a huge manuscript. And he said he was part of some Templar group, a new Templar group. And we're going to go into that in a bit. But basically, some of the more interesting writings are talking about his attachment to the New Right. The New Right would be right-wing, you know, like the English Defense League. The English Defense League in England, if you look at them at all, I'm sure they're nice. A lot of nice white rabbits involved in that. There always are. But you try to figure out what the hell they're defending besides the Jews. They're defending the Jews, and they want to integrate the Muslims. They don't want Sharia law and all this stuff. This is controlled conflict. What we have here, let's back up. What is our enemy's strategic objective? New World Order. Strategic objective of the New World Order is based on World War III now. World War III is a matchup between Zionism and Islam. And in this matchup, Zionism needs some help, so they're going to get Christianity involved, Judeo-Christianity, and this comes after September 11th. You start hearing this, Judeo-Christian, Judeo-Christian. And they want to team up with white rabbits. That, of course, doesn't happen in the States for various different reasons, thank God. That, of course, does happen in Europe, and you have the English Defense League and all these different Gert Wilders and everyone else that seemingly pander to the Jews. But in this thing, we have only one side really fighting. The Muslims across Europe are on a tirade, raping, killing, murdering, and everything else. We also have an elite, a liberal elite that has aligned with them. Certain elements of the liberal elite have aligned with them, whether they be in France or especially in places like Norway. And into this equation, of course, you've got the Zionist side, Jew rabbit and Gentile rabbit alike, Team Pink Rabbit, we'll call them. And that's the matchup. But in this equation, sooner or later, you got to get your Christians fighting. I mean, in Europe, it's illegal to walk down the street, chew gum, and look at a Muslim. I mean, it's insane. It's illegal to criticize. It's illegal to say anything. It's a total closed society. Worse than America in many ways. Other than America is a soft control. If you make a move, you're going to get a hate crime. You're going to get a hate crime sentence. If you say something, you're going to lose your job. So it's not in the law. It's kind of like a soft law where you could lose everything just by taking actions. In Europe, you lose everything and it's under the law. So it's kind of interesting, the difference. But in this equation, you're going to have to get the Christian side fighting because the Jews don't have numbers there. The brown shirts all have brown skin now. Yeah, the Muslims in Europe hate the Jews more than Hitler could ever, more than any Nazis ever did. So in this equation, the thinking would be that you probably are going to get the ball moving. Now, in this case, if there was some big attack on mosques across Europe, I think we would have our answer there, wouldn't we? We don't really have that. What we have is an attack against elite in Norway. What made me suspicious is that I remember a week or 2 weeks prior, Alan Dershowitz, big lawyer in America, big famous Jew rabbit, definitely a Zionist, definitely on their team. That team is up to bat. Within Pink Rabbit, all the little Zionists were up to bat. And that he said that Norway was Israel's biggest threat. And then, of course, when the attack happened, we have the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, Abe Foxy Foxman. Abe Foxy Foxman held back, and it was kind of weird how he did it. I remember listening to him that, well, we don't really want to go around accusing Muslims. It may not be them. It's the way it said it, it just struck me. If you watch the Jews for years, and I have because I'm an anti-Semite, it's just simply a fact. It struck me that he knows something. You know, that's just the way it struck me. I can't prove anything. It's just a gut feeling. So there's two things that kind of made me leery. You know, sooner or later, they're going to have to get the ball rolling. And what better way to do it than to get some revenge against the elites in Norway and that type of thing. Another thing that there's a lot of good writings on it. Gilad Atzmon, I think it's called. I'll put some up on my Twitter. Was the massacre in Norway a reaction to BDS? And BDS, of course, you'd have to read the piece, but you're talking about, he makes all the connections between what's going on in Palestine, what's going on with the Palestinian vote, what's going on, and basically the Zionists who are opposed to it. More about the Jewish right-wing connection massacre in Norway, and he does a very good job. Deep Parallel Surface, Norway, 9/11, 7/7 in Bali, Gordon Duff, senior editor, Veterans Today. That's kind of interesting. These are three interesting pieces. The Excavator, Wayne Mattson. This one's going around on Oslo attacks. Israel Mossad did it. He has a very good list of things going on. My thinking is that they're going to have to get the ball rolling, and you're going to have to do it somehow. I thought it would probably be against Muslims. But, you know, Mr. Brevik, hopefully I'm pronouncing his name correctly. I haven't watched YouTube to see his pronunciation of his name, and I can't remember it from the TV. But Mr. Brevik says he's a member of a Templar order. Now, to most of my audience, that doesn't mean anything. Okay, he's a Masonic. Is it the Jews? That's just a word. You know, you have a Templar order. He says it's a new one. There's no such thing as a new one. What a new one would be is an old one resurrecting itself. We also have a lot of shock and trauma. That's the enemy of that. That is the mindset of an enemy. The reason that I've in this podcast, I've told you about closed societies and fear-based consensus trance. Well, the way they create it, and you haven't had the privilege of hearing the whole podcast. That's another podcast. The way they create it is through shock and terror, through shock, trauma, and terror. You're not going to create a lot of shock and trauma by just killing a couple guys at the top. You're not going to create near as much shock and trauma. In fact, you might not create any at all because everyone may hate them. You may create a Robin Hood type effect. But what happens if you go out and you blow the hell out of everything and you shoot a bunch of kids? Well, you're going to traumatize a society. You know, this is the reason. This is one of the reasons that the guys that would bring it down the Berlin Wall, the people that try to make changes, undermine the society severely with psychological warfare, undermine the system, undermine the moral position of the people in power. One of the dangers is in false flags and stuff like that. The society with the shock, the trauma of that particular event, especially when you got people walking around with blood all over them, all the rabbits with all the blood all over their fur. You know, everyone's seen the pictures of people walking with all these white people in front of the building, and you got all these little rabbits getting capped in the head. You create a great deal of trauma and shock. And typically our enemy will move in and basically get things done within that time frame, within that fear-based consensus trance, that they normally would not be allowed to get done in that closed society. They will make the society more closed. And you'll see this in the South during the Civil Rights era, and I can't remember the exact bombings, but I could do a book on this type of stuff. There were several different bombings that were very very famous bombings that everyone was suspicious off of, and they moved in the Civil Rights era off those bombings. When you get into the Oklahoma City, they used it, the shock and the trauma, to get past what the Patriot Act, all kinds of crazy stuff they tried to push down. Some of it works, some of it doesn't, and that's what they're doing in Norway now. They're trying to push that agenda. Now, the difference in Norway is quite simply this. The trend toward the European right will not be abated by what happened in Norway in any way, shape, manner, or form. That's the problem. So all around Norway may crack down. They're trying to get all this stuff in. It's like, you know, they want a tea party for multiculturalism and everything else. At the same time, we have the opposite end of the spectrum. We have the potential for a group of Zionists who team Zionists, Team Pink Rabbit, basically making a move against the lead of Norway, maybe to send a message. Who knows? In the first round. But, you know, the trauma and the shock always sends the closed society more closed in the short term. The difference in Norway is Norway is not an island on itself. It's attached to Europe, and Europe, the right wing is moving, and this doesn't appear to have hurt them at all. It may not even hurt them in Norway, except in the short term. I've got a lot of listeners in Norway, quite a few at least. Some Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar members are in Norway. And what you do in this is you basically don't lay low. You just stay on message. Because obviously we don't advocate anything violent. But one of the challenges with this is it any type of shock and trauma makes it a little bit more difficult or takes it a little bit longer, because what it does is it puts that society back into that trance, and allows the elites to work on them. It's one of the reasons you didn't see any big wild events causing a great deal of trauma or shock bringing down the Berlin Wall. You know, that's you will never see that. A legitimate Iron Fist that was actually backed by, let's say, a real ancient Templar association. Let's say a Masonic fraternity resurrects itself that we haven't heard from in hundreds of years. And let's say it's an offshoot, because they are all offshoots of something. The Nazi Party itself was an offshoot of secret societies. It's just a fact. And let's say one were to resurrect itself, started by an ancient European king, just for this time period. Could happen. Stranger things have happened. And let's say they were to send a message, a legitimate Iron Fist, they would be operating in a big fraternal order across a variety of different intelligence agencies across, most likely, religion would involve. They could be in your local Protestant church or local Catholic church. They would be all over the place. Let's say that an Iron Fist wanted to strike. They're going to thread needles. They're going to hit three-point jump shots. That's kind of common sense. Someone that is what he says should hit a three-point jump shot unless there are a bunch of Zionists playing around or unless he's just a white guy pissed off. White guys can do all that. Just one can do all that. You know, I have no way to know. It's either one extreme or another. But a legitimate Iron Fist is not ever going to create that type of shock and trauma, because it's going to go, you want changes in the society, and you're basically giving the society back over to the people that closed it to begin with. That's the danger there. What normally you would happen, and I don't have a template for this, other than somewhat of the old IRA or something. I don't have a template for this necessarily, but what we've seen, even with Iraq, is you have a closed society, Saddam Hussein. I don't think as many people hated them as we think. I just think some minority groups hated them. They walk in and Iron Fist, U.S. government walks in, that's what they played, the Iron Fist, and topples it, and you have disaster. What you have to do in this type of scenario is they would morally undermine the leadership, and you do that, guess what, with? You would do that with a sound, with a vibration, with psychological warfare, that's all consistent messages. You would do that and degrade their moral authority. And then at a certain stage, what someone like me would do, I'm not dealing steel, but we're on message. I would transform and start asking another question. And this is something, if you learn nothing from this podcast, learn this. At the final stage, what we're going to do is we're going to ask a question. Once this genocide stuff is out there, 2-3 years, like right now, we would start transforming that. Why should we put up with this? We're not advocating anything violent, but let's vote these guys out. Let's throw these guys out. Why should we put up with this? And once you get into that stage, you know, there's three episodes of a con. First, you don't want to believe you've been conned. Then you're kind of accepting that you've been conned. Then there's anger. You want that change in consciousness. Once you start moving that, you ask a question, why should we put up with this? And a legitimate Iron Fist, I don't have a template for it because it's so dangerous. One, it's illegal. Two, it doesn't work. It has a tendency to never work. It's never worked. But if an Iron Fist were to move at that time, they're not going to blow up giant buildings. They're not going to whack little white rabbits, even if they're at Pink Rabbit training camp. I mean, they were at Pink Rabbit training camp, but they're not going to operate like that. And a legitimate one attached to what he says he is wouldn't do that. That is the MO of our enemy. You understand this? So our enemy wants to make changes. This is one of the challenges. If I were to develop a list of, say, you know, there's all these politicians in Europe. I want to get them out of office. We want them removed from office, which there are. On that list, I'd say a great many of them would be on the Zionist list as well. The difference is what you want to replace it with. Right? I mean, let's face it, you need an English defense league. They're just not defending England. Yeah, it's true. It's true. I can't figure out what these people are defending besides the Jews. The Jews and integration. I mean, they're defending everything going, just a slight modification. I don't know. But a legitimate Iron Fist is not going to write 1,500-page manuscripts. They're going to be concise. They're going to be to the point. They're going to thread three-point shots. You're going to know someone like me is going to be able to immediately say, we got a shooter on the scene. And the three-point shooter's making their point. They're going to make their point. But you would never, ever, it's just such a dangerous thing to do, because one, no one has a template for it. No one has a template for it post, let's say, 1940-something, without chaos ensuing. Like Iraq, you know, you've got to degrade the leadership morally. And you've got to transform the people that have been conned, they've been duped over with propaganda, into the state that you're ready to say, why should we put up with this? You're ready to put the question into their heads. That's important for you to understand. That's why I don't believe it could ever be anything legitimate. It's either a crazy or a white gunman that lost it, went postal on a giant scale. He's had enough, let's face it. Like old Bob Whitaker says, suppression always causes violence. I mean, first they flood Norway with non-whites, and only non-whites from the third world. And then they force integrate. They're trying to force integrate it. And then they have interracial this, that, and other every night and day on all the TV channels and all the advertisement. And then they tell the Norway, and the Norwegians have said this on the record at a very high ministry level, that the ideal human skin color is mocha. I mean, come on! All without a vote. You know, they're promoting their inevitable brown future. Sooner or later, all without a vote, sooner or later, suppression caused violence. They can't talk about it. They can't vote. I mean, this is just ready to explode. So in the larger scheme of things, it won't affect the rise of the right. But I don't know if it was some Zionist seeking to score points or, Mr. Breivik just lost it. I would have no way to know. I don't believe a legitimate Iron Fist is going to send out 1,003 emails. They're going to have way too much connection. They're going to have done their homework across the board. They're going to be concise, to the point. They're going to thread three-point jump shots. They would want to Robin Hood it. You don't want a trauma and shock. You want to Robin Hood it. You know, these people are immoral at the top. Why should we put up with this? And they would want to Robin Hood it at a certain point in time. Robin Hood, of course, comes in and he kills a bad guy. Well, Robin Hood is good because he killed the bad guy. He robbed from the rich and gave to the poor, and he killed people. He hurt people at the top, but only because they were trying to kill people. The evil sheriff. I shot the sheriff. But you never want to send the society back into shock and trauma. You never want to do that. It's counterproductive. It's counterproductive. I don't have a template for any violence, but I was asked if an Iron Fist came in, because if you degrade the moral leadership to the extent that the top is hated, well, sooner or later, some fraternal organization with a lot of connections, it would have to be either a state actor or a non-state actor. In this case, we have someone saying he's a fraternal organization, a fraternity, a secret society, quote-unquote. At that point in time, actions are going to speak louder than words. You're not going to get a 1,500-page manuscript. They're probably not going to send out 1,003 emails, although they could. It's going to be over the top. It's going to be blatant, and you're not going to see a lot of shock and trauma in society. You're going to see a lot of confusion. Like, okay, someone just come in and shot two former prime ministers, and the reason they did it is because they're responsible for all this and we weren't allowed to vote. You know, but the question would already be in their head from a psychological standpoint of why should we put up with all this? I don't see, you're not, first off, we're not at that stage, although I guess you could argue we're getting close, based on the obvious. But that's something that's my thinking. So although I don't know if it is Zionist, if it's not just some lone gunman, if this is what he says it is, it has to be the Zionist side. It has to be that team because of the trauma and the shock. I just don't see it being productive. You're not ready for that. You just wouldn't operate that way. It just doesn't make any sense. The last thing you want to do is give the people in power or more control. It just doesn't make any sense. But either way, if he, Bob says there's going to be more of this, more because suppression caused violence and this has happened all across Europe. It won't affect the rise of the right in Europe, no doubt about that. And if it is a Zionist, this is the first part of an act coming into war, and I would expect prior to World War III maybe to get more of them. 2083 will never happen. You know, the biggest problem with the Breiviks, the biggest problem I have is the problem I have with Ted Kaczynski. An Iron Fist is not going to say that they have to kill people to get their point out. That's you're not going to say that. When Ted Kaczynski comes out and he says, these guys sound brilliant a lot of times. They write all this stuff and they say, wow, this guy's really intelligent, right up to the point where he says, I got to kill people to get my message out. I got to murder people. Well, a legitimate Iron Fist doesn't think in those terms because that's idiocy. That is someone like me is going to, this is a madman. No one listening, there's plenty of white normal media has got their message out, not allowed on regular TV, just by having an internet. Plenty of them have got a message out. I don't know of anyone that's had to kill people. It just doesn't work that way. And a legitimate Iron Fist is not going to say something that goofy. They're not going to say all this stuff. And it's going to be short and compact. It's not going to be a 1,500-page manuscript. They're going to make a point. That's my thinking on it. But we'll see. If this is the Zionist, I expect more of these. Probably you're going to have some mosques and stuff like that. That's just my thinking. Going into the in-game exotica, as we go into what the Dr. Farrell's called Apocalypse Theater. I just don't believe you're going to do that type of shock and trauma. It doesn't make any sense to make any type of changes. It doesn't really work that way. This looks like someone sending a message, either was Zionist or was a mad bomber who had a tremendous, tremendous amount of Zionist affiliations, whether you like it or not. I mean, the email list had stuff on there from Israel and everything else. So he did have a diverse email list, obviously. That's my analysis, basically. In the next piece, I'm going to do some news around the world, but that's my thinking on that, just to give it a little different spin on it. There's a lot of unknowns here, but what we do know is there's a lot of dead white rabbits. We have shock and trauma. We have the society is trying to make some changes. More dramatic changes. It won't work in the long run, but it's counterproductive. Violence is always counterproductive. It not only is stupid, it just doesn't work. Doing what doesn't work is very, very stupid. If this man was what he said he was, they should have threaded 3-point needles. Three-point shots. He should have threaded the needle. You know, but he didn't do any of those things. He got caught in traffic. You know, if he is what he says he is, he's not going to get caught in traffic. I mean, this guy's playing this out. Got caught in traffic? He didn't get to the island because of a traffic jam? That's very odd. This is kind of odd stuff. So these are just questions I have. And, of course, he's still alive, so who knows? Who knows? But he probably is just he could just be a disgruntled white rabbit. And as old Bob says, violence, suppression causes violence. Old Bob Whitaker says expect more of this. You probably could either direction say that the more Europeans are probably going to lose it, go postal, more white males, and who knows what we find out about this guy later on. One of the things that I always thought, every time I saw him, every time I see a picture, I think of the WikiLeaks scandal. The guy from WikiLeaks has that, blonde hair type, real light blonde hair. And I kept thinking, you know, here's two guys on two opposite ends of the spectrum. Well, maybe not really. They both look very, very similar. very Nordic. Interesting. But anyways, that's my thinking. Let's go into some news views. I'm going to fire around the world and talk about some news events. We have the big war brewing. Everyone can see it. We have chaos breaking out. That's the way it goes. It's that time on the calendar. If you guys haven't listened to the Elitester special, you certainly want to listen to it. Those of you that are confused about 2012 or the first way I did it, I put in an old piece about 2012. I took it from a different direction. And that'll be in the Elitester special. The Elitester special should be one, two, or three podcasts. It should be the one before this. If this is 69, it'll be like 68. And if it's not up when this is up, just look for a day later or something. But anyways, you're coming in 2012, and they got this big shindig planned, some huge war, and the war is to try to bring in their New World Order, and I think there's going to be some interesting things that happen right afterwards. But anyways, into this war, they're pitting neocons, the new right across Europe, against the Islam and the left. Zionist against Islam and the left, Christian Zionist against Islam and the left, basically is what is matched up. In America, we have, it looks like the place is just cavitating financially. It has been for a long time, but sooner or later it's going to go. It's just that time. It's that time. I've talked about this stuff till it won't seem like it's redundant. It seems like, you know, I've been waiting for this for so long, and even my listeners are coming along for the ride. The most important thing we can do right now, though, is to keep that, what they are doing, what Obama is doing, Talibama, they're overwhelming the system, which is very easy to do in America as they come into these events. They're going to look to spring everything into this new world order. They're going to look to use this war and different pieces of technology and everything they're going to roll out to spring their new world order. They're looking to overwhelm the system. What we're looking to do is overwhelm the system with a particular message. I could speculate on why they want this out. There's various different reasons. But it's the most important message going, at least to us. If the 14 words are important to you, well, this is the 14 words on on steroids for politics. But their New World Order is nothing but our genocide. And that's our message. But as this America starts cavitating, you have Tel Aviv stocks fall 4% on U.S. debt downgrade. A big debt downgrade. It's about time they downgraded some debt on America, probably, tragically. I mean, that's probably been coming a long time. But this is all in-game theater. This is all in-game Exotica. Does NATO plan to attack Syria and Iran? Moscow says yes, but don't. It's an interesting article on Huffington Post. There's nothing new here. I don't know exactly when the attack will come. I don't know if they're going to push into Syria first. I don't know if there's going to be a catalyst. I don't know exactly what they're waiting for. My gut, this is just speculation, my gut is that I was listening to Mullen, and this is a top U.S. military official, Admiral Michael Mullen, before the House Armed Services Committee, and this was in July. I want to say July 8th or something like that. And he was talking about Tehran arming Iraq militias. And Iran has just basically pushed all over Iraq. And America, of course, U.S. military has been withdrawing, sort of, letting them do that. And it occurred to me, and probably many others, that they were setting up some type of false flag situation. Mullen accuses Tehran of arming Iraq militias. Well, they have armed them. So one morning you might see a problem where Iran or someone acting like Iran running around in Iraq kills a bunch of U.S. service members, and next thing you know, they're going to be calling for war, you know, an attack on America by Iran. Something like that. Very easy way to draw these two together. Could it be Israeli Mossad or Zionist? I'm guessing. It'll be something like that. The U.S. military will have a heads up on it. They're preparing for war. Obama has signed off on war with Iran. How they're going to get there, I don't know. What they're going to use to try to get their New World Order, I don't know. I can just have you as prepared as possible. But they're going that direction. And they're going there quickly. Let's see here. Interesting piece on terrorism and the Illuminati, which is kind of like a conspiracy website. But this is an interesting piece by David Livingstone. It was on August the 2nd. And it was 2002, Iraqi intel reported Wahhabis are of Jewish origin. This has to do with something we talked about a long time ago, and that's Team Pink Rabbit. And Team Pink Rabbit at the top, the Saudis, most of the Arabs are finding out that the Saudi, the House of Saud, is just in bed with the Jew rabbits. This is all Team Pink Rabbit. Interesting. U.S. Navy, and I'll put that up on my Twitter, and you can read it. But the House of Saud, I've told you a while ago, they're all in on this. It's Team Pink Rabbit. Basically, what they want is to control the Middle East and then surround Russia. They got to have Russia to have a new world order. The big tripwire to Russia, surrounding Russia, surround Russia, you got to have Iran, because Iran borders. You got to have Iran. Once you have Iran, you can surround Russia. They're not worried about China. They're worried about Russia. Now, of course, Russia has, built new nuclear reactors for Iran. They've armed China to the teeth. They've done all kinds of other things. They're just causing problems night and day, but that's the big tripwire, Iran. Let's see here. U.S. Navy orders laser machine guns. This is July 27th. They're replacing big guns on a Navy warship with lasers. Yeah. Interesting, huh? Things that make you go, China wants economic zones in the U.S. Does this have to do with the default? Is this just scare tactic? Well, there's a German base, what I call a German base. Germany sends, I think it's its pilots, and they fly planes around out west, the Luftwaffe. And if you see them leave, get scared, you'd be afraid. But until you see that, don't worry about any of this. If America were to default, China could come in and lay claim to land or whatever. But I don't see Pink Rabbits doing that. What China's doing is antagonizing. You know, the little red dragon is antagonizing the big red hippo to some extent. That's all they really can do. They own enough debt to antagonize. They don't own the vast majority of debt. The vast majority of U.S. debt is owned by the Federal Reserve System itself. The problem with the system is that they issue debt as a currency, and that's another podcast. And they always go this route. You know, a private bank, just like any bank, can pay down, can loan the principal, but they don't have... they don't have any way to deal with the interest. So the interest always has to grow, and that's the problem. The debt, everything has to grow. It's the compound nature of interest. The interest on the debt is always going to far outstrip, the interest on the money in circulation is going to always far outstrip the amount of money in circulation. It's just a mess. I've went into this before more than one occasion, but they always run their course, and this one's running its course, and they're going to look, try to roll it into something bigger, which is what they always do, some bigger scheme. This one will not be so kind. Let's see here. But China wants economic zones in the U.S. It should be interesting to see what China presses or what China has planned into this war. Let's see here. The Libyan war ends. Obama makes Moscow peace broker. I thought this was an interesting piece on July 14th. This was actually Debka file, which is a propaganda site for the Jews out of Israel. But sometimes they put some interesting stuff there. You know, you got to read it with one eye open, one eye shut, that type of thing. But it's an interesting piece about Putiput. They hailed the agreement President Obama and Medvedev reached for terms of negotiating the war's end with Muammar Gaddafi. Now, Gaddafi, is he still in power? What's going on there? It's interesting. It's interesting stuff as they roll into this war, all eyes on Russia and what type of deal they cut in the short term with who. You know, we got all these different factions, and I went over that plenty of times. Let's see here. Israel's threat to bomb nuclear facilities is central to its Iran strategy. It's an interesting piece on Time in the global spin section, I think it was. I'll put this up. It talks about Israel has threatened to bomb Iran so many times that Iran may not take it serious. And that's true. This goes back to 2004. I'm pretty sure they had their heads. I think they won it with this war for a long time, but since 2004, I think they've been actually preparing for it in one form or another. He talks about all the neocons threatening to bomb. And they talk about the different Israeli leaders like Dagon, who talks about the idiocy of Israel attacking Iran. The point of it, while the Iranians don't seem to believe the threat or take it overly seriously, and the reason for this is because Israel's threatened to do it so many times, according to the timepiece. A different problem arises if the Israeli public is seduced by Netanyahu's apocalyptic rhetoric, which paints Iran as the same threat to their physical survival as Nazi Germany was to Europe's Jews in 1938. To the extent that the Israeli public buys into that hysteria, they will expect their leaders to attack this implacable annihilationist threat no matter what the odds and consequences. In other words, they will expect their leaders to do something that sober heads and Israeli strategic establishment believe is stupid, self-destructive, and unnecessary, given a realistic assessment of Iran's capabilities and the danger they represent. Even Defense Minister Barak appears to have recognized the danger created by alarmist rhetoric, reiterating his belief that even a nuclear-armed Iran would not repeat threaten Israel's existence. The real target audience for Israel threatening to do something crazy may not be the leaders of Iran as much as the leaders of the Western power and other international players, as Shavit noted, that the Israelis hope to scare into raising pressure on Iran. Dennis Ross, President Obama's point man on Iran and the wider Middle East, had even suggested this strategy in his last book he published before joining the administration, arguing that a diplomatic solution required that Iran and others believe that Israel attack is real and imminent threat. Ross even advocated sending the Israelis around European capitals threatening to do something crazy, knowing the Europeans' fears. Then he goes on to say, suggesting, as Dagon had done, that the bombing Iran is not plausible, course of action for a serious Israeli leadership does not help that campaign. But any evidence, no matter how flimsy, that such a strike may be looming possibility reinforces it, even if the Irans don't seem to take it seriously. One of the problems is that even if they didn't want to bomb Iran, is they have a population that they've hyped up for it, and they've got... they're basically in a stage where they either have to bomb Iran or do some type of false flag to pull America into a war with Iran. They're going to have to do something. And of course, there's all kinds of problems internal to Israel. You've got black rabbits running wild across London. Well, everywhere. they're pretty much decaying. They're decaying into 2012. They're going crazy. But this is an interesting piece from Time. It's interesting what they do and how they go. I know where they want to be. I just don't know exactly how they want to get there. Here's another piece, and it talks about war with Iran. U.S. neocons aim to repeat Chalabi. I forget how to pronounce his name. Chalabi. The guy that they said we're going to go. They were going to put into power in Iraq. Chalabi style swindle. And they're trying to pull the same deal that they pulled in Iraq. Should be interesting to see. And of course, we got Pudi calls Bernanke a hooligan, angry at American money printing, and made Alex Jones InfoWars. That's pretty funny stuff. All interesting. We're coming into World War III. I don't see. Do I think it's going to happen in September when I'm at a conference? Well, it's already gone going. It's not going on in Tennessee, thank goodness. We're not having it in Syria or anything like that. And if war did break out, some big war break out, they would just refund the money anyway. So it would be nothing to worry about on that count. But definitely this fall, coming into this winter, I see them wrapping up into events very quickly. And once it triggers, everything will go in a succession. Could they collapse America into it? Sure. Sure, of course, once you go down this road that they've went down, there's really no going back. They're going to have to engage. They're going to have to pull, they're going to have to go big. It's go big or go home. That's all there is to it. What they do exactly technologically, using new technologies and whatnot, there's about 100% chance of war as I see it. And you have an 80% chance that they're going to do something really over the top and crazy, displaying new weapons to try to get that new world order. You need to listen to that last piece about 2012. And I'm going to talk about some patents they have. My Leadster special. They're going to go for it. They got everything ready to go for it. There's no reason why they shouldn't try it. They've waited this long, and I'm interested to see exactly who has their number. Who's held them back? And we'll do our part. Our part is that famous pressure from below. That's what a consistent message does. But if you guys want to go to the if you guys want to go to or you have any interest in going to meet greet eat retreat and meet Horace, meet me or meet old Bob. And learn a little bit more about practical politics, non-voting politics. You can definitely do that. You just have to listen to the Truck Roy interview I did. It should be up on the site. And I'll be back again with you soon. Thanks for listening. We are now at the end of another episode of Horace the Avengers Follow the White Rabbit. And this podcast is, of course, all as always, dedicated to practical politics. But I'd like to take this time to thank you for tuning in to another episode. On behalf of the Indigenous White Rabbits of Europe, it is yours truly, Horace the Avenger. And I'll be back with you in another episode in the near future. Until then, thank you for listening. So pale.